Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the sixth edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants and refugees. This show is about visiting with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today's guest is Victoria Chicon, whom listeners may already know and recognize from her WMPG show directly following this one called Cruz del Sur. Victoria left Lima, Peru and came to Maine in 1998. She learned English and soon became a filmmaker and a radio show host. Victoria leads a very full life, working, volunteering, supporting Latin American community here in Maine in a number of ways, and she also teaches Spanish to elementary school students. Thank you for being my guest on New Mainers Speak, Victoria.
Thank you. It's the few times I'm in the front of the microphone, of the camera, somebody asking about me, because always I'm behind.
Yeah, you're used to leading the show on this one. You're the guest. And after this show, you'll get to, we'll switch seats.
Okay.
So, Peru. Peru's due south of Colombia on the Pacific coast of South America, and there are about 30 million residents in Peru, eight of which are from Lima. And Lima seems to be growing fast, but I'm curious what Lima was like when you were born there and what it was like growing up there.
No, I grew up in Lima, but I born in the town in the north of Peru, in Catacaos. You hear the music in the beginning of the program. This is a Tondero Marinera, who is a typical music from all the coast, but this is from my town, Catacaos. Catacaos is a very famous town of craft people. No, they are famous for the pottery. They're famous for the filigree in gold and silver.
Mm-hmm, filigree.
And they are famous also for the hats with the paja toquilla, which is very fine. And they is like a fabric.
A felt? Yeah. That kind of felt?
No,
hat?
It's not felt. No. It's a straw.
Oh, a straw.
Very fine straws called paja toquilla. They are so famous. I'm very proud to be born there. I were there in Piura, who is at the north of Peru, until 6 years old. Then my family moved to Lima. Then I grew up there.
You grew up in Lima. And can you tell us a little bit about your parents and what they did for work?
Well, my father was a Chinese immigrant from Canton. And he was a Chinese of the corner, as they call.
Chinese of the corner. He had a market on the corner.
Yeah. And my mother was from Piura. And they moved to Lima. My father has a store who provide everything for the people from the fields who work in the camps and in the farms, you say, no? They are agricultures. A lot of agricultures in Piura, in Catacaos. And I remember very few because I was almost 6 years old, no? But I remember all the donkeys at the door of my father's store with a big alforjas. We call alforjas the
packs.
These two sides with big.
Yeah, the big packs for the side
big
of the
packs,
mule.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Full of all kind of food,
no?
Grains, rice, and beans, and everything who they can get in the store of my father. Mm-hmm. No, that's my big memories about my father. And my mother and my father works in the store. They are very, I think, very wise to turn. My mother wasn't with us, no, and my father was in the store.
Oh, they would take turns back and forth between manning the store.
But when my father need to go to the market because because he cooked all the food. He cooked for us, the lunch. Also, he made our breakfast for school.
Would he make those things in the store or at home?
At home.
He would make them
then
at home.
Then my mother was in the store. They take turns very wisely.
Uh-huh.
And when we come back from the school, my father was waiting for us. And my mother also was inside the house doing the lunch. We call lunch the meal at 6, almost the dinner.
Yes.
But lunch, we call lunch when we have tea and pastries and little things. Also desserts, and then we have dinner later, like at 7 or 8 at night.
So it's kind of like a happy hour with no drinks.
Yes.
Get you through till a late dinner.
Before to do all the homework at home, from the school. It was very timed, our life. No, in the morning, my father smoked his cigarette, smelled tea all the house, and he was singing in Chinese. That's my memories when it was. No, and we were waiting, and the time he came into our bedroom to knock for school. Then we were ready for school, then he has already packed our lunch. Now then my mother woke up later, or he woke up with us, but she get dressed and everything, and she go to the store and to attend the store, clean up everything. My father goes to the supermarket to buy something.
Your parents sound like they had a pretty progressive and balanced relationship with work and family.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. What did Lima look like when you were growing up? It didn't have 8 million people in it, did it?
No. The immigration from the highlands came just, I think, in the 50s. No, they start coming down to Lima. Mm-hmm. No?
That's bigger than New York City now.
I think Lima is almost 9 million people, and more than 50% are young people.
Young people.
Yeah, that's Lima is very big. And now they say the economy is very good, the business are growing up, and there are a lot of immigration from all Latin America to Peru. I hope it will be good. I hope we don't have the same problem here.
Yes. Well, we don't have donkeys lining up at our stores to stock up.
This was in the 40s. Oh, yes. I born in 43. Probably my memory is until 40 and 6 years old, almost 50. No, now. Now it's very modern cities. Lima has a very beautiful Riviera with all big buildings, and the beaches are amazing. And we used to see all kind of color of people. I grew up with, my father was Chinese. I don't realize my father was an immigrant or somebody, some special thing. In front of our house were the Japanese family who has a coffee. There was native people. The side with all the stores were vegetables because they bring things from the highlands
the vegetables in for
or
fresh
grow up
sales.
In the little farms. Then behind me, all the famous black people who are the famous soccer players. I grew up in my school was Mikulisic, Guich, all kind of last names from Europe. And blonde hairs, and I don't see we are different. All we are were different then.
You were ahead of the game in a way in Peru. It sounds like very multicultural, multi-ethnic.
Yes,
yeah.
Is this? I think you call this country America. Because everybody who came from Europe of this side, the east side,
East Coast,
coming to America. But America is a continent. They came here, they went to Panama, they went or Central America, they went to South America.
And also
on the other side in the Pacific, no? My father was talking about San Francisco. Probably he stopped first there, then Panama. Probably he stopped there until he came and stayed in Peru.
My understanding is that when slavery ended in Peru, a lot of Chinese immigrants came to Peru to labor.
Yes. Okay. You know, as everybody knows, all the African way came here and were enslaved, yes. No? But in Peru, and I don't remember exactly but Ramon Castilla was a president, a military, very nationalist military, and he say the slaves need to be free. And of course, there is a song also when Ramon Castilla give us the liberty and we don't want to work in the farms, then of course, were many probably cimarrones who escaped, no? Slaves who escaped from the farms, from the... Also, we have all very big farms we call haciendas, no? The arroz, the rice, caña, no? O sea, cane, sugar cane, rice, and a lot of vegetables, no? Then... They say, they talk to the Chinese people, they came to Peru and they can have a farm or something, but was a lie. No, they came and was in the farms where the black people doesn't want to work.
More like sharecroppers here?
Yeah. That's happened, but, you know, was not a slave anymore and they... were independent after, no.
So can you tell us what made you want to leave Peru and how old you were when you left?
I came here because my two sons came here when they were 19 years old, no, because his father was here, no. I was divorced or separated. When they were very little, like 3 years, 4 years old.
You and your husband separated when they were young?
And he came here, we don't know. When they were like a teenagers, probably he asked for the papers, we don't know also, until he appeared with the visas and they came. I say, your father is young, you can try. And they did, no? They came here. And because my older son was already in the university, he fight here for to be in the university, the same his brother.
And which university did they attend?
He went to Miami because the father lives in the south in Florida. He went to the school, World War School, something. He made photography. No, he was a photographer. And also, he has a very interesting life. And he's a very brave man, a very good father, and very smart.
Is this your oldest son?
My oldest son, mm-hmm. And also my Danny, who live in Florida, still live in Florida. He's also a very sweet man. And they have the life of the technician. They are computer engineers but they are musicians. My son in Florida play guitar very, very beautifully. I hope he's keeping doing that. My son here also is a photographer. He play flute or zampoñas, we say in Peru. They have that kind of very rich life. And my daughter is in Peru, still in Peru. I hope she can come in someday. She is a lawyer, and she's doing a master in in public manage or something.
So public
management. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have two sons here. One eventually moved to Maine. Is that how you got here?
Yeah, he was in Florida, and he met my daughter-in-law, who is a Mainer.
Ah.
When they have a girl, my Sydney, they decided to move here.
And you said, I'm a grandmother, I'm moving to Maine.
No, I don't say. I came here because I want to help with my second grandchildren, who is Gavin, who is almost 16 now.
So you've been helping with the grandchildren a long time.
Mm-hmm. from I came.
You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. Today I'm having a conversation with Victoria Chacon, originally from Lima, Peru.
From Catacaus.
Oh yes, Piura. Catacaus, then Lima, then Florida, then Maine? You came straight
Maine.
To Maine. Okay. So, and then Maine. So, Peru is very well known for its cultural diversity. It's Amerindians, the Mestizo, right? Then that's the white and Indian mix, whites, Africans, and Asians. And generally speaking, the population identifies as Catholic, city-dwelling, and Spanish-speaking. Of course, that's not everybody, but that's the lion's share, about 75% or more of each of those. So growing up in Lima, you were surrounded by people of many origins, yet you say there was little emphasis on skin color. And I would love it if you could help us understand that a little bit better, because that seems so different from here. What made it so different?
I don't know. In Peru, the government doesn't help any way. The government built schools. I remember from my time, I study all the week, including Saturdays until noon. And my school now has three terms. The morning, the afternoon, and the night for the adult people.
Like shifts?
Shifts.
Yeah.
Then they don't build more schools. They use the same school for three terms because the people are growing in population in Lima to
so
9
quickly.
Millions. Probably in my time were 2 millions. I don't remember. No. The other thing is everybody there look for their own surviving. If you don't go to school and don't get a job, you need to invent your life, to do your life.
Yes, you have to invent yourself.
If you are not working, you have some
public
right
assistance.
To public assistance.
Mm-hmm.
There is not. No?
No public assistance.
We have, the government has hospitals. As I say, the same hospitals I know when I grow up are working now, but the population is. Then you need to go in the morning or the night and a night to get a seat for
at an
to
off
be
time,
attend.
You go to the, yeah. the local hospital. That
does
wow.
happen. No. What else? The food is there in all the markets. Each neighborhood has a little market. You can go for fresh food, not too expensive like here. I buy here a celery, who we call apio. Un apio probably in Peru, I don't know now, but it's like a 50 cents of a dollar. Here is $5. That's a difference.
Really big difference, right? So your daughter so far has not chosen to move to the United States to join you all. And you had shared with me at one point that she wasn't sure she wanted to because it was so different here culturally. What does she name as her concerns for moving here?
When she say my brothers doesn't have life. They are working and working and working, but they don't have friends or don't go to each Friday night to, you know, to meet somebody, or Saturday to the same. Probably it's not the best way to live, but the pressure of the life probably is less than here. Or I don't know.
When celery is $5, you have to work a lot to make enough to
exactly
buy the celery.
Here, the families who, you know, here they say the Latinos are all undocumented. It's not true. There are a lot of families, complete families working here. But if you have a house, you have a car, you have to educate people.
Insurance.
You have insurance for everything. How you can work one shift? No, I know women who are work two shifts, one complete shift and one part-time. And the husband do the same, and anybody who work in the house need to work like that. What time you sit down around the table to have lunch or to have dinner?
The sacrifice is culture, isn't it? It's less music, less dining together, less singing. You know, when the music came on in here, you probably couldn't see Victoria, but she was dancing to it. And I think...
I think all the time. I'll work. And the other thing is... The good thing here is I'm a filmmaker. I can work in a hotel. I can work in a restaurant. Because I don't have the opportunity to be in the group of filmmakers here. But with my son, I did movies here and video, of course, because I don't... Now the digital is the time of the digital for...
Digital age.
Not.
So you let me just back up here for a moment. I wanted to say you are a filmmaker. Were you a filmmaker before you came to the United States, or did you learn that here?
No, I was a filmmaker in Peru. I was editor for a lot of, especially in all the documentaries of the Catholic University. And I work with the people who teach me to do movies was a French director. I work in the company from when I finished my high school. I start working, learning to do movies. With 16 millimeters, with 35 millimeters, I know all the story of the to do movies. I teach also to do movies, and when I was before to coming here, for 5 years I teach in the institute to do
how to make movies.
Screenplays and to do video and movies.
Can you tell us a little bit about your show Nosotros?
And when I came here, the first thing I did was looking for the community, for the how can I survive here?
Making
because
your own life.
My own life, because I never was at home. Of course, I cook at home. I do all my things at home, but I was a working woman.
Yes.
Can you say that?
Yes.
I need to... do my own life.
So you, besides you're helping to with help the grandchildren, but you also wanted to have your own life, and you've worked in public media before.
Yeah, so. And I was taking all the newspapers in the supermarkets, the free newspaper. I don't understand at all, but I was looking for, and I don't know why, but I understand community. I understand the church. And I find my church, the Sacred Heart. I find TV, community TV. And I went there and I asked, what is community TV? And they have this beautiful program here. Each town has a community TV who is a free speech space. And follow the rules. I need to learn what, and it was good for me because the language, I know all in Spanish, but I don't know in English.
Yes.
Enough, no?
So you came here right away, you were attracted to the word community even before you could speak English. And you saw it, community TV. Yeah,
and I saw free clinic. I say, free? What is clinic? I know what is clinic. What is free clinic?
A free clinic.
Went to the free clinic to ask. What is it? And I find the beautiful doctors, amazing doctors. Dr. Knapp, who was my doctor from very beginning. And I can have the trust to her to go when I was sick, no?
And Victoria, I think you're incredibly brave with very little English. You pick up the paper, you follow the words you recognize to community, to free clinic, and you make a life for yourself one day at a time with public television and
And I went to Dado Education, of course. And I think I'm a little pushing myself.
Push your comfort zone.
Yeah. And sometimes I need to back because it's not the time to do, for example, the TOEFL exam, no? But when my daughter, who learned English for herself, she came here and do the TOEFL simulacro, o sea, the training
equivalency test. It's an English equivalency test, a TOEFL exam, right?
Yeah. And then she did and say, "Mommy, try," because she has a very high grade in the training, not knowing the real exam. And I try and I passed the test, and then I went to USM
You learned what at USM?
Yeah, I was bachelor in 2010.
Oh, you did. You got your bachelor's degree here.
Yeah, I think if I'm here, I need to do everything everybody do here. Have a license, driver license, go to university, and learn everything. And the only thing I'm waiting for is for the lottery.
The lottery's next. When in Maine, do as the Mainers do. You've been listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and I want to give special thanks to my guest, Victoria Chacon, for joining me here today.
Well, thank you very much. I think I can encourage other of my community people to come here and say who we are here and who we are doing here.
Please
because
do.
All the Latin people are hard workers, honest people, happy people, and we are in this diversity thanks to Maine, thanks to the United States, but not all are undocumented. And I think this is our land. America is ours. Then we have some right to move looking for a better life.
And we're all here together making community radio.
Yes.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this interview in its entirety, please look us up on newmainerspeak.com. Next week, my guest will be Abdi Yosef. He came to Maine from Somalia as a young child and attended Portland Public Schools. Currently, he's a senior at Deering High School, and he will tell us what it was like for him to go back to Somalia to visit his extended family last summer as an American. Please join us. Up next is Cruz del Sur with my guest, Victoria, right here on WMPG.